Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, I was planning to preach about something, but as often happens, I end up not... I don't know if this happens to preachers all the time, or it just happens to me. But I'm going to talk about something totally different from what I had actually planned, and these notes are going to be absolutely useless to me. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 5. From verse 1. Can someone read it for us? And loud and clear.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake.
Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the leading of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with us and that Jesus was lifted up, O Lord, even as we were worshiping and praising you, Lord. Thank you for coming and touching our hearts, O Lord. Father, we come to your word, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us. Father, speak to us, O Lord. Father, you know why, O Lord, you want me to speak on this particular passage and not what I plan to speak about. Father, I pray, O Lord, that you'll anoint this word and anoint me and anoint us as we listen to it, O Lord. May your anointing come to break the yoke and to reveal Jesus Christ to all of us in a fresh way. In his name we pray. Amen. They went across the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tomb and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the iron on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. This is a picture of a man who is bound by the devil. It's the picture of a man who is bound by the devil. Now, there are only two forces in the world. There's God and there's the devil. One of those two is ruling your life. Either God is reigning. Look, something is either... you either have a vacuum or you have something. If you... In nature, right? If you have a vacuum, an empty volume, and you open that volume, it will now remain a vacuum. Something will fill that thing. If it's underwater, you open it, water will rush right in. If it's in air, you open it, air will rush right in. Nothing in nature remains a vacuum once it's exposed, and all human beings are exposed. So either God rushes in and fills them in, or Satan rushes in and fills that place. When you open a pocket in your life, either God rushes in or Satan rushes in. When a nation opens its doors, either God comes in or God comes in. It's the same thing for a family, it's the same thing for an individual, it's the same thing for a school. And here is one man, for whatever reason, the devil had gotten into him. He was controlled by the enemy. And he was living in bondage. Now, I don't know why, whether it was his fault or it wasn't his fault or it was somebody else's fault. I don't know. But for whatever reason, the devil got a hold of this man who apparently looks like he was a young man. And so I want to ask you, are you bound? And who's controlling your life? Now, it doesn't matter if the person goes to church or doesn't go to church. You can go to church and still be bound by the devil. You can... The Bible says one of the apostles of Jesus, Judas, the Bible says Satan came into him. And Satan is more active than people are willing to acknowledge it. When you read in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus, one thing that you see, which you didn't see much of in the Old Testament, is that Jesus constantly was dealing with this kind of people who are under the grip of the devil. And Jesus will cast out these demons, Jesus will cast out these evil spirits. Now when you read that and then you come in today's world, that will kind of seem strange to you. And that's maybe what makes people think that the Bible is kind of out of date, because Jesus is going around and casting all these people with all these evil spirits. And so it seems like a strange world that's different from the world we live in. And the world that we live in, people don't have demons. Sure they do. It's just that today, there isn't willingness to acknowledge it. And these people were here, and these men had demons. And you can be... You can be bound by the devil, and the devil might cause a person to drink. And the person becomes a drunkard, and he's drinking, and he's drinking, and he's drinking. You're telling him that, you know, drinking is bad for you, but he keeps on going and drinking more and more. And everybody is coming and yelling at him, stop drinking, stop drinking, stop drinking. But a spirit is in him driving him to go and drink, and his drunkenness is only increasing. Or you have people who are just bound and that they, I don't know, they're promiscuous. They go to sex and they go back to it. They are here with this girl and then with this other girl. They're running after this thing. They're running after this girl. They're running after this other girl. Just going wild. And everybody's telling them, stop this, stop this, stop this. And let me tell you something. The people who do live their lives, so I don't know how, but there are these people who think that the guy who's the real guy is the one that can get as many girls as possible in the shortest possible time. If you get this girl and then next month you get this girl, you seem to get them easily, then you're really the man. Let me tell you something. Deep in their hearts, these guys are not happy. They wish they weren't doing that. After they've gone with this one and gone with this one and they come back to their senses, something in them cries, this is not what I want to be. There's in the heart of every person, there's in the heart of every person, this thing that God created that wants them to rest. And I'll be jumping from one person to the other and from one thing to the other thing. Sometimes, somehow, after they're done jumping from one person to the other, they come back to their senses. This thing in them tells them, man, you better calm down and come back to earth. The same thing, there are these, some of these girls are just promiscuous. They go with this one person and this other person. And people yell at them, stop this, you're ruining yourself, stop this. But they continue, and that's what they do. You have families or couples that are under the grip of the devil. They live in a nice home. They make a good salary. There's no serious problem, but for whatever reason, there is strife there. When she just doesn't close the door right, he gets mad. And when he's just chewing his food too loud, she gets angry. And you have these tiny little problems that erupt. It's the devil. Somehow a spirit has gotten in there. You even have this. I'm not talking about people who are ungodly. I'm talking about people that do go to church. You have some of these kids that have been in church since they grew up. But they seem to hear about the Word of God. It goes in one ear and seems to come out the other. Nothing seems to touch them. They're there, they're sitting, people, they've told them, they've read the stories, but somehow something is binding them. They're bound. And so it was for this guy. And the Bible said he lived in the tombs, verse 3. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. There were these people who cared for this man. They genuinely cared for him. They were honest, but they were honestly wrong. They were trying to solve a demon problem with irons. They were trying to handcuff the demon and control him with irons and with chains. You cannot lock the devil in a jail. You cannot lock the devil with handcuffs. You cannot beat him with a rod. You cannot yell him out. You cannot. There are these people who, you see, the devil is not afraid of irons. He's not afraid of woods. And some people think if they just, you know, wear this little cross on them, that's going to keep the devil off. You can wear the biggest, heaviest cross. You can make it with iron. it will not keep the devil away. Some people think if they go like this, the devil is going to go away. They make this sign of the cross in front of their face. That doesn't keep the devil away. It will not keep him any more than these chains could keep him. But what I'm really talking about is that instead of people addressing the demon, they say, let's send him to the psychiatrist. Let's send him to the psychiatrist. And they send him to the psychiatrist and they give them pills. And of course, the devil is not going to go away because you put chemicals in the man. It's just that, you know, maybe if it was happening because it was back then, they didn't have the pills. Today, we do give the people the pills, or we don't chain them. Or we say, well, he just had some temper problems. I don't know. Or people try to control. They say no one was strong enough to subdue him. Or people try to control. You have these parents with teenagers at home. They try to set hard rules for them. They want to beat foolishness out of them. Now, I do believe the Bible says that foolishness is bound to the heart of a child, and the rod of discipline will drive it out of him. But it's talking about a child. It's not talking about these more grown-up kids. You can no longer drive fully. They're no longer children. You can no longer use the rod of discipline to drive foolishness out of their hearts. When you have these kids and they've grown up and they're there going wild, going crazy, bound, and you try to somehow control them with your iron, whatever that is, you try to handcuff them, it's not going to work. The devil is not going to get away from them because you bound them and you handcuffed them. No amount of yelling at them, of trying to yell God down the throat, is going to change them. But it's not just that the devil is in people there who are going wild. For some people, there's just a darkness around them. Something just kind of grips them, and they don't know why. They're just not free. They're not functioning in the way that God intended them to. And they kind of try to party a little. They kind of try to go out and have fun with friends. But there's this thing in them that's bound them. They can't really express it. They don't know how to say it. They don't really know who to go to. And many people have that in them, and a lot of them end up committing suicide. It's like there's this huge barrier that Satan has built around them. Family love them. Friends try to care for them, but it's just like anything that tries to reach them kind of bounces against this wall and falls back. It's the devil. Now, verse 5 says, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stone. There was a cry and they were cutting. He was hurting himself. He was suffering. And this is the ultimate goal of the devil. He wants people to destroy themselves. He comes in the home. Jesus said that the thief come to steal, to rob, to kill, and to destroy. That thief is the devil. He comes in people's life to make sure that they destroy themselves. He comes in a family to make sure that people are turning against each other and destroying each other with their words, with their actions, and with whatever else. He comes into a nation to make sure that people start to do stupid things that will lead to their destruction. And by the way, America is on that road. We have 5,000 babies aborted a day. 5,000 babies aborted a day. A river of blood. There's no other nations where that happens. In one day, we kill more babies than we've had soldiers killed in Iraq since the war began. In one day, we have more babies killed in America than we have soldiers that have died in Iraq since the war began. Now, what's God going to do with a nation like this? We've opened our doors for the devil to come in, and the country is headed to destruction. People don't want to hear this, and if some people hear this, they say, oh, there goes the Republican. I'm not a Republican. I told somebody yesterday that I was a Christocrat. I believe in what Jesus believes in. And if he displeases the Democrat, too bad for them. If he displeases the Republican, I don't care either. But it's been this... I don't understand. We say that we want to help poor people here, and we're going to want to go save the world over here. But then we kill our own babies, 5,000 a day slaughtered. I don't know of any greater genocide in history. And it's been going on for over 30 years. If you count the number of baby deaths that have been killed, it's greater than the population of the country that I'm from, Congo, and it's Africa's fourth largest country. And the country in Africa with the largest livable area, because the other three or two other are mostly desert. If you count the number of baby deaths, that it's a whole nation of people that we've killed and slaughtered. And it's given Satan a foothold in this country. And you have all sorts of weird things happening. You now have kids going to school shooting their friends. I have friends from Virginia Tech who know people that died in that shooting that happened in April. Our family's from Virginia, so lots of my friends went to Virginia Tech. We have weird things happening. Two 11-year-old girl went and kidnapped a neighboring toddler. Two girls. They went in their neighborhood and they kidnapped this little toddler and they left a note asking for money in exchange for the return of this little baby. In England, two girls... younger, I don't know if they're in their earlier 20s, I think they were teenagers. They took their other friends, bound her, tortured her, and killed her, and then buried her in their backyard. Because they finally had to admit it because they were not strong enough to dig a grave shallow enough, and after some time it became obvious that there was something underneath there. And so they had to admit it, went to go to the police and admit it before it became too obvious. And they say they just wanted to have an experience of healing someone, was their reason for doing this. They just wanted to have the experience of seeing someone being tortured and dying. The girl had not done them anything bad. It tells you that opened by our actions, we've allowed the devil to come into our countries and he has taken a hold of the young people and he's turning them crazy. And unless something is done, it's only going to go worse and worse and worse. Let me come back here. This man was cutting himself, hurting himself. But in the midst of this, there was a cry. Something in him was crying, I want to be free, I want to be free. This is not what I want to be. I don't want to be cutting myself. The Bible says, among the tombs and in the hills, he will cry out. What was he crying out? I don't know. Maybe people were not understanding what he was crying. They were maybe saying, there goes the madman. He's again just shouting. But I think in the midst of all this, this man still had a little, he still had his own mind in him. And his own mind, which was different from the spirit of this demon, of these demons driving him to do this, was crying, "I want to be free. I don't want to be here. Can someone help me?" All that these people had done was bind him and try to put some chains and some human restrictions on him. And that never helped him. But God so loved this man. Jesus never went anywhere at random. We know his practice was that every morning he went away to pray. Way before it was the sun was up, he will leave his disciple, leave everybody away, go find some lonely place and pray. And there he will get his direction from his Father as to where to go that day. And this day God spoke and he wanted Jesus to go and encounter this man. And Jesus took a boat, crossed the lake to go after one man. This is the love of God. God sent Jesus to come and look for people, individual sinners. To God, nobody is a number. Nobody is just a person out in the middle of the crowd. If you were the only sinner on earth, Jesus would still have come to die for you. Because God values one person as if he were the whole world to him. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to come and save you. And this particular day was the day for this young man. Jesus took a boat and crossed over. And you'll see that this is the only thing Jesus did in this place. He went there, ministered to this young man and left. He had crossed the lake to come and minister to this one person. God will do anything to go and reach one person. Jesus left the crowds away where he would get applauses and he could perform some miracles and people could clap for him. He left all that away and crossed here to come and minister to this one person that everybody else was scared of and had given hope on. And the Bible said, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear by God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." There is only one power that the devil trembles at. It's the power of Jesus Christ. There's only one thing that can help anyone who is bound by darkness, who is bound by sin. There's only one thing that can help anyone who is under the grip of the devil. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's that Jesus sought to come. They have to meet Jesus face to face. And faced with the power of Jesus, that power of Satan is forced to bow. Only when the devil is commanded to go in the name of Jesus, only when Satan is confronted with the Lord Jesus will he bow. Everything else will only make him laugh. Anything else will only make him laugh and will only waste your time. All other efforts will be a waste of time. It is an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with him. That will cause him to bow. The Bible says when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell in front of him. The Bible said that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. These demons didn't need to be told who Jesus was. They said, "What do you want me with Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" By the way, Most High God in the New Testament seems to be used mostly by evil spirits only. Because they know what they were talking about. They knew that God is the Most High. His authority is the Supreme One. When he speaks, they have to obey. And they surrendered to Jesus. This man fell at his feet. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He didn't just have one demon. He had plenty of them. Probably one of them was the one that caused him to go live by the tombs. probably the other one was the other one that caused him to walk around naked without clothes, tearing his clothes. Perhaps there was another one that caused him to cut himself. But he had legion. At this time, this is happening in the time when the Roman Empire ruled the place. In the Roman thing, a legion was hundreds of soldiers. So he perhaps had hundreds of demons. Now, maybe the work of the devil in your life is just one. It might not be 100. It might just be one. It might just be that in this one area, you're bound and you feel like you can neither move nor progress. And there is this force that holds you captive. And in my mind, I keep seeing this picture of someone who's just, you don't go around screaming or yelling, but there is this darkness around that keeps you bound and locked up. And when these people said, we're legion, and begged Jesus again and again to send them out of the area, there was a large herd of pigs. They asked Jesus if they could go in there. And he gave them permission. And they went out. And you see what happened here. When they got into that herd of pigs, they rushed down into the lake and were drowned. This is what the devil is about. Whether it be in people or in animal, he is about destroying them. He's about leading people downhill till they're dead. He could no longer do it in this man, and he went in the pig. Now, this is happening in Israel. Pigs were unclean animals. They were ceremonially unclean. They were not supposed to eat them under the Old Testament. And he tells you what the devil is attracted to. He's attracted to where there is uncleanness, where there is sin. And if anybody wants to get right with God, there has to be that self-examination and asking, is there uncleanness in my life? Is there anything that attracts the devil in me? Do I have things that are unclean, that God considers unclean in my life? Is there sin? Where there is sin, the devil is being given an open door. The Bible says in Ephesians, do not give an opening to the devil. These pigs represent uncleanness. They represent unholiness. And of all things that were around, the demon asked to go in there. And I don't know how they got into this man, but there must have been an open door in him, in his family. I don't know what. I would assume that there was something in his family that was wrong based on what Jesus tells him afterwards. And we'll get to that in a moment. But it would seem to me that there was something that God saw in that family, that God knew in that family was deeply wrong. And it had opened the door for this young man to become the way he was. That's my own, there isn't much that I can use from the Bible to pray. That's what I personally feel in my heart. In whatever the case be, there was an uncleanness that the devil's son was attracted to. Just like in Judas, the devil saw that greed for money. And of all people, he said, yeah, this is probably the one that I can use. In spite of Jesus preaching, in spite of Jesus teaching about don't lay up treasure for yourself in heaven, Judas was not willing to abandon that uncleanness in his life. And when it reached its highest, when he was even ready to sell Jesus for money, the devil said, let's go in him. And Satan himself came into him. His uncleanness has reached the highest. He could sit in the very presence of Jesus and think of selling him for money. Have you ever thought about that? That a man became so greedy? He wasn't thinking about selling the slave. He was sitting there when Jesus himself is preaching, and he's thinking about nothing else but selling someone for money, and that somebody is nobody else but Jesus himself. His sin had reached its highest sinfulness. And at that point, the devil entered him. The Bible says Satan came into him. There's uncleanness in people's lives that need to be dealt with. There are lusts and things that the devil did not prompt you to do, but that somehow a decision was made to do those things. A decision was made to do that thing, and it made an agreement between you and the devil. Or in your family, I don't know what happened, but there has to have been a willful agreement. It's just like I was saying, when a nation agrees, the people voted for the congressmen, and the congressmen gathered, and they say, we're going to now make a law. It will allow people to go and have their babies full term, 9 months, and have them perform partial birth abortion. That's a clear, they don't have to do it, but they chose to. It's a clear saying, devil, we want you in our country, come and take over. And at the personal level, at the family level, there are these actions that someday, for whatever reason, now, I don't believe that the people actually, just to digress a little, I actually don't believe, and maybe I'm just naive, but I don't believe that somebody actually thinks that, who has read about these practices, actually believes that it is the right thing for the government to allow these things to happen. I think deep in their heart they don't believe it. They do it because of politics. Because that's just what whoever funds them thinks they have to be doing, and therefore they just have to do this thing. But it's a clear, it's somewhere in the person's life, somewhere in people's life, there comes this juncture of life, for whatever reason, we choose to do something, we choose to make an unclean action that opens the door to the enemy. And then Satan comes in, and once he's in, he tortures you. He brings havoc. He binds you, and he will keep trying to get as much of you as he possibly can get. Now, the Bible says in verse 14, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. Now, this is the weirdest thing for me in this story. Jesus came and did a good thing to somebody. Why were they sending him away? What were they sending him away? There's something that scares people, is when they see God act for real. It's when they see God. You see, people are very comfortable with religion. And that was what I had actually planned to talk about. I was planning to talk about the difference between religion and reality. There's a lot of religion that goes on, but there's no reality in it. God is not in it. And these people could have gone to their synagogues and they were comfortable. But the day the power of God came there and began to expose uncleanness and began to deal with real issues, the people said, no, we don't want this thing. go away from us, please. We appreciate you doing this thing to the demon-possessed man, but please leave. Whenever people have darkness and have hidden sins in their lives, and God comes into that place, two things happen. They either get delivered like this man and side with Jesus, or they say, please go away, we don't want this. Most people don't really want a true relationship with. They're complaining, we can't know God, we can't know God, show us, prove us, how can we believe in God? The truth is that they don't want a real relationship with God because it will drive out the darkness that's in them. The Bible said the light came into the world, but the world did not receive it because the men loved their darkness more than the light. That's in John 3. Men loved their darkness and therefore they rejected the light. When the light came to this place, people who had hidden uncleanness in their lives opened doors. Now, obviously, there was nobody there with enough of a real relationship with God to actually help this young man. They were all practicing religion. All they could do was bind him with. There was no one who said that, this is a demon, I believe in God, I'm going to go there and command those demons out of him. No one had that real of a relationship with God. They were all playing religion because there was some darkness and uncleanness in their lives. And when Jesus came and they saw that there was going to be a real dealing with issues in their lives and Jesus was to stay there, they said, no, 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 let this man go away. And they were afraid. The only reason why people are afraid of God, will be afraid of God, is because there are things in their lives that contradict God. Now, there are two things that you can do. You can come to Jesus with that and say, Lord, there's uncleanness in my life, deal with it. You can repent and turn away from it and allow God to wash you clean. Or you can say, no, 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 I don't like this kind of fanatical religion. Get away with it. And I have seen people, I've seen pastors, I've seen Christian groups, I've seen chaplains get alarmed and become afraid when they saw that God has begun to move around them. When they began to see somebody with the power of God on him, actually doing things for real, they say, no, 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 something about this is very uncomfortable. Let's get these people out of here. It's what happened with Jesus. They were afraid when they saw that he was dealing with real darkness. Now, verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how much he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, that is the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. He was set free, and he was free indeed. And Jesus sent him to his family. Maybe there are people in your home who are bound, and they need to hear about God. And God expects you to tell them. He expects you to be the one who goes there and spoke to them. Before I preached anywhere, I preached in my family. I preached so many times there, countless number of times. We had family worship meetings, and it wasn't like 15-minute thing. I preached there 40-minute messages almost every day for years. That's where I learned to preach. It was to my mother, my sisters, and my brother.
they have heard more gospel than, I don't know, they have a stack full of gospel in their memories. Jesus told this man to go and tell his family. See, God doesn't play religion. He's real. If your Christianity is real, it will be seen at home. The people in your home will bear witness to your Christian belief. They'll see Jesus in you. They'll know that He is not joking. He is for real. Sadly, in many Christian homes, the children know that the parents are hypocrites. They go to church and they play the Jesus game at church. When they come home, they are angry, bitter, immoral, or whatnot that they might have. That's why many preachers' kids turn the other way. And become, many of them, it's because they were at home and they saw that there was no reality there. It was all game. Jesus told this man to go and talk to his family. I want to ask you, and if there is one thing that I want you to remember from this, do you need to be delivered? Is there, when Jesus comes into a place, things change, chains fall, the devil runs away. I don't believe in this Christianity where people say they've received Jesus in their hearts and everything remains the same. It's a mockery of the power of Jesus Christ. I don't believe in this Christianity where people just read the Bible and they just, you know, and just keep going their lives the way. No. When Jesus comes in, the powers of hell bow to their knees. Chains are broken, curses are broken, diseases are gone. Most of all, people are set free from sin. He will be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin, was what the angel told Mary, the first promise in the New Testament. He shall be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sin. Where Jesus comes, sinners are set free. Guilt is gone. Jesus set people free from guilt. He carries the guilt of sin away. He takes the guilt of the sin away, and He takes the sin itself away. He takes the consequences of sin away. He undo what the devil did. He tears down what the devil built. He breaks the chains. There's freedom in Christ and there's victory in Him. So I wanted us to sing Victory in Jesus. There is victory in Him. He did not come into the world to leave people the same. When He comes, people are transformed. They're changed. They're new people. And the devil hates this message. He wants to say to people, just go to Jesus, but you'll remain the same. Go to Jesus, but you'll keep your sin. Go to Jesus, but you'll keep the consequences of your sin too. Go to Jesus. That's because people have stopped believing in the power of God. They don't believe Jesus can set you free from sin. They don't believe He can heal you from your diseases either. They want to have God without having the power of God. It's impossible. Either Jesus is there or He's not there. Either He is there and He's there in His power, or He's not there at all. Or people have refused to believe in Him and to allow Him to do what He promised He would do. I want you today to lay hold of God. I don't know what is it that you need. That needs a miracle to happen. I don't know what is it that you need that only Jesus can do. But not tomorrow. I want it today to be that Jesus does something about it. I want you today, right now, to believe Jesus. It didn't take 2 days. It didn't take a year for this man to be free. He met Jesus that day, and that day he was okay. he met Jesus, and that day it was the end of it. It doesn't take long for God to change people. But you have to believe in Him. And you have to allow Him to do it. As you can see from this, where He is told to come, He comes. Where He is told to go away, He goes away. He didn't argue with them. He said, wait, I healed this man. No. They told Him, go away. He entered the boat and went. Just as easily as He went, just as easily He comes when people call for Him sincerely. I want us to pray. Call on God, whatever it be. Lay hold of Him by faith. Say, God, I need Jesus. I've been using fetters and irons to solve this thing. And I'm not going to do that anymore. Maybe there's been a cry in your heart like there was in this man. Maybe at night on your bed you cry out, Lord, I will need freedom. Let today be the day of your deliverance. Let today be the day of deliverance.